Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. In the first two books of the Compassion series, author Tim Huff has looked at homelessness and the disabled. The third book in that series is The Honor Drum, and is co-authored by singer-songwriter and politician Cheryl Bear. Through images, story, commentary, and discussion questions, The Honor Drum is a key starting point to learning about and understanding the issues facing Canada's Indigenous people. On the phone with us from his Toronto area home is Tim Huff, and from her home in BC is Cheryl Bear to talk about the book. But before we get to the interview, let's listen to Where the Good Way Lies from Steve Bell's new CD, Where the Good Way Lies.
Seven. Seven sacred teachings to live.
Seven sacred days creation took, so the ancient stories tell. All was done, the author called it good, and it was good so long.
With Tim Huff and Cheryl Bear. Good evening, Tim.
Hey, good evening.
And good evening, Cheryl.
Hi, Robert.
Hi. Now, Tim, let's start with you. You've already done two other children's books, The Cardboard Shack Beneath the Bridge, that looked at the issue of homelessness, and It's Hard Not to Stare, which explored disabilities. What led to The Honor Drum and looking at the whole issue of the Indigenous people?
Well, the book is really a standalone book. For me, it's part, kind of comes out as part of the Compassion series. For Cheryl, as she will share, it's independent in that it's, so we actually put mention of the Compassion series on the back of the book. So I guess that's to say, regardless of me doing the first couple of children's books or the other adult books I've done, it was a project that was just dear to my heart because of my relationship with Cheryl. And my relationship with the country that I've been born and raised in, Canada,
right.
And how vital I think the conversation is. And Cheryl's the one person who, in my mind, in my heart, I could work with this project on in the way I had kind of envisioned proposing it. And then, of course, it became something grander, more important, mm-hmm. more vital with Cheryl's.
Yeah. Well, Cheryl, how did you get involved with the book?
Well, I think it's I've just been a journey of being misunderstood and misrepresented my whole life as an Indigenous person. I am not Tlahuatan, First Nation. I'm from the Bear Clan, and that's my place. That's where I'm from. And Indigenous people, we come from a completely different worldview. We have different values, and of course our culture is different. And so I know that working with Tim, he's come across people who just are very similar in different ways in Canada, that they have a certain story that they've been told about Indigenous people here. And often that story is not true. It's told from a perspective of a non-Indigenous person about our history and our story and our ways and others. And there's so many places where the Canadian story has gotten it wrong. So it's been really important to me my whole life, in the different roles that I've played, the different jobs that I've had in my life, to try to bring some understanding of First Nations people. Because I think that the more that we get to know each other, the easier it is to walk alongside mm-hmm. each other.
Now, how did you and Tim connect initially?
Tim, we met through ESC, right?
National Roundtable on Poverty and Homelessness. I think it was the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both, of course, there was a national profile, and so people from across the country, and we were sitting around the same table, and that entire group of friends, there's a real kinship there among many of us to this very day, mm-hmm. and Cheryl and I just became really good friends, and great conversations unfolded. So that was where it all started, as friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, where did the whole idea behind creating this kind of a book come from? Was it your idea, Tim? Was it Cheryl's idea? Was it just sort of the two of you sitting around one point and both saying, hey, why don't we do something like this?
I'm not sure there's any... I would say evolved into a conversation. I was kind of working on children's books, and I had gone to Cheryl with an idea, and that idea really unfolded to what it is because of Cheryl's heart and knowledge and life experience. So perhaps I had a Catholic-y Books is faithful to me as a publisher, so I guess I did have the contract conversations in place, so I went to Cheryl and said, what do you think of this? But I won't take credit for what eventually evolved. That comes mm-hmm. through Cheryl's life experience, and how will we speak about this, and how will we discuss this as Canadian friends and Indigenous West Coast mm-hmm. and a white guy from Toronto.
Well, Cheryl, you said that one of the issues has been the story of Indigenous peoples has been told by people who aren't Indigenous. So how did it come together that you and Tim, yourself an Indigenous person from the West Coast of Canada, and Tim, you just describe yourself as a white male from the Toronto area. How did the two of you come together to create this project?
Well, Tim's just got a really great way of being. I mean, him and his family are involved in so many different areas of ministry, and so he just kind of, I don't know, if there's something that he's interested in, I think he pursues it, and I think that the TRCs were happening, and I get, a lot of times I sort of work as a bit of an Indigenous consultant to churches, and what I did, some of my lots of work in this area of trying to raise awareness, not only theologically, but even talking social issues, values, all of those things with churches. I did my doctoral work on this. So it's almost like this wonderful coincidence where two friends who happen to be doing good things just sort of comes together, and it just works. And I think that's what happened in this situation. Mm-hmm. There was just such a need. I just felt such a need to get the story out. And I don't know how or whatever. It just sort of, you know, God brought Tim along. And of course, over the years, talking about all of these issues, this came up. And just timing and everything was really worked out.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy to work with Tim.
Well, on that, I think we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with Cheryl Bear and Tim Huff, who have co-authored the book The Honor Drum. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Arts Connection. You've been listening to Freedom Road from Steve Bell's CD, Where the Good Way Lies. And the song was inspired by Steve Bell's involvement with the Shoal Lake 40 First Nations community and its fight to have a road built from the Trans-Canada Highway to the Isolated Reserve. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Cheryl Bear and Tim Huff. Cheryl, just before we went to break, you were talking about the fact that the timing is kind of fortuitous. I mean, we've had the Truth and Reconciliation Commission come out with their findings. We now have the starting of the missing women, missing and murdered women inquiry. We have Gord Downie and the emphasis on Chani Wenjack and some of the natives that were involved in the residential situations, residential school situations. None of this was planned in terms of when the book came out, but is all of that help with people's understanding and with what the book is going to do for people's understanding of Indigenous peoples?
Yeah, well, yes, absolutely. And I think that the goal of the TRC, and incidentally, I love telling people about this because the TRCs are a result of the residential school survivors taking Canada to court, and it was the largest class action suit in the world, and they won, and it's unprecedented. So then we have everything kind of unfolding, but a lot of people don't realize that. It was the residential school survivors themselves who asked for, as part of the settlement, they wanted TRCs to be set up all across Canada. So that idea was birthed in the heart of the victim. If you think about it, there's not often, the victims don't usually take the role of the reconciler, but that's what happens in this case. So I think it just says, it goes to show just this amazing grace on the part of Indigenous people and our elders, and the courage to be able to not only tell their story, but then to, you know, to hold a hand out to Canada and say, you know, we want to walk alongside of you. We want mm-hmm. to. We want reconciliation. We long for that. And I think that in creating this book and even being friends and with the vast differences between Indigenous and non-Indigenous, which we don't often recognize as Canadians as well. We always want to sort of like, we're always scratching for sameness. We're always wanting, you know, how can we just sort of feel comfortable with it, with one another. But Tim and I did a lot of work together, and as you know, and both of us in what we do, we try to create safe places where people can ask whatever they want, right? And so we did that, and it was hard, and it was a lot of work, and I love the product that we have, the final product. I don't think it's a product, but I think it's a part of both of our passions of just raising awareness, and so in that sense, you think about the journey of two friends having to work through some really difficult, things, a history and everything. It's overwhelming, and then to come up with such a beautiful, and as Tim says, our tender little book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so happy about that.
Well, and it is, and in terms of all of the components of it, I mean, there's the illustration, there's the story, there's the commentary, the discussion questions. It's really done that to be able to share that beauty of Canada's Indigenous people. Tim, as you were developing all of this, you know, based on some of the other work that you've done in that, what was different in putting this book together from some of the other ones that you've done?
Well, this one, I really wanted, I had to find where my voice fits in it. I represent a settler people, and whether that's just this generation or like my family multi-generations ago, and how do I honor the conversation and not, appropriate and be wrong. And of course Cheryl was there to make sure that was never going to happen, but even in my relationship with Cheryl, how do I make sure that she's honored through the entire conversation, that at no point in time does she think, yikes, what have I got myself into, or what do I need to get myself out of?
Right.
And so there was just this real, I'm not a jeepers, I hope I'm humble in my other books, but there was this different sense of humility that I felt, and I just felt Cheryl's grace to me in working on it. So that was a big part of this collaboration for me.
Well, what did you learn from this collaboration?
Well, I had been to some Indigenous Pathways conference stuff, and I had been to a few days at Truth and Reconciliation in Ottawa to hear the residential survivors share their hearts and their memories and their pains. And so I, in the last several years, my family has great history up at Tsavo Beach and Lake Huron with the Saugeen people there. And so I kind of already had a heart for entering into these conversations, and I've kind of grown up feeling that. My mom and dad are very wonderful justice people. So, but what I learned is that I should never assume I know enough. I think I mentioned in the back of the book in my bio section that I've been schooled over and over, and every time I think I know something, there's something more to know. And Cheryl's grace in this kind of conversation helps a lot with that. That's why she's so excellent at teaching and speaking, and her music speaks to this as well. So I learned much about Indigenous people across Canada, more than I had known. I still have tons to know. But perhaps one of the things I learned is how to better speak about it, what my voice in that conversation could be like.
Mm-hmm. Cheryl, same question. What did you learn from the process?
Oh, my goodness. I think that Tim is one of the most highly organized people I've ever met. And so it was really, I've never written a children's book before. So that was a lot to learn. That was a pretty steep learning curve. So I leaned on Tim a lot for all of that help and the connection, and just the format and different things. That was a huge relief to me.
Mm-hmm.
To do that, I think. But then the other, and one of the things that I'm so grateful for too is that the story gets told and that Indigenous people, are given a voice, and that's one of the things that Canadians can do. I think that there's people wanting to be advocates. I think that Tim is just an excellent advocate. So I appreciate that. In all the other areas of his life where he does that, mm-hmm. I appreciate that he also has, done that for Indigenous people now.
Right. Well, I think we're going to take one final break, and then we can come back and finish our conversation with the Honored Drum co-authors Tim Huff and Cheryl Bear. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Waking to familiar news. Summer's gone, long gone. Summer nursing winter's blues. So bring it on, bring it on. Crumble of snow beneath the feet. Shivering fingers in winter's cheek. True north time is bittersweet. So bring it on, bring it on.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Bring It On from Steve Bell's new CD, Where the Good Way Lies. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Cheryl Bear and Tim Huff. Both of you mentioned in the last segment that you learned from this book. And one of the things that I find as I was reading through it is it's very much a book that you can learn from. Cheryl, what do you hope people who read this and engage in the discussion questions and that learn from The Honor Drum?
I think that I talked about earlier that people are often looking for sameness. We're trying to look for ways where we can connect and where we're the same. And there are lots of ways where we are. But I love to talk about differences. How are we different? Because different doesn't mean bad. Different doesn't mean wrong. It just means different, and I think that when we can figure some of those things out, then we can. That's the way. excuse me. That's the where we get the path forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so that excites me actually to start talking about our differences rather as where Indigenous values are different, because value dictates behavior, and so where you come from as a person, you can either be bent and shaped into society and schools. Schools want us to be a certain way. They teach us to debate and to refute, and so you're never truly listening to anyone. You're always taught to listen kind of with one ear or maybe half your mind, and the other half you're formulating your response. Whereas Indigenous way is you listen to every single thing that the person says, and then there's a huge pause, and we can never do this on the radio,
mm-hmm.
Where there's a huge pause. And some elders, my grandpa, Alec George, for instance, he would have this enormous amount of space that he would leave where he would be thinking about things and really honoring the words and really listening. And then he would think about his response. And then he would give his response.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can imagine the amount of time and the beauty of silence and the weight of that silence. And it's very different. And many people have jumped to conclusions about that silence over the years. And it's always, always negative.
Yeah.
Is there something wrong with you? Are you not very smart? All these things in residential school, they so hurt my heart to say them, because they were said to my elders, my family members who went to the Jack residential school, and it just pained me to repeat these stories.
Mm-hmm.
But so these different values, and to know that about Indigenous people, that there is this pause, then there is value again is assigned to that that way of being, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that you illustrate that element in the book, that whole aspect of of listening and pausing. Tim, the same question. What are you hoping people will learn from The Honor Drum?
Well, originally we had called it A Book for Children. Then we changed that byline or subtitle to For Children, Families, and Classrooms. So we want children to learn, but we've really written, like the discussion guide, as you've checked it out, is really written in adult language. It's so we educate the adults and they can decipher. We talk in a note to parents and teachers in the front of the book that the families, that the parents, that the teachers really take this in personally, and they decipher what language to use for grade 1 or grade 3 or grade 6. But then the discussion questions are for the children. And the idea that we could, like Cheryl said, be different. We appreciate our sameness. And then our difference we respect and we celebrate and we learn, and in particular on this one around the Honor Drum, the book, that we gather around that and learn from the Indigenous people of Canada or of North America. And we take that to heart, and we, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, is the timing right? Is the or how good is the timing? How fortunate is the timing? And part of that's true, but the real answer is the timing is hundreds of years behind,
right,
where we should be. So,
yeah. One final question, Tim. Where can people find out more about the Honor Drum and where they can get copies?
Well, if for sure, CastleKeyBooks.com. And it'll take you to the website, or castlekeybooks.com/the Honor Drum gets you right to that page. So that's excellent. But the truth is, Indigo and Chapters, if it doesn't have them in the shelves, they'll have them in their computer system. You can go there. Christian bookstores across Canada. But again, the quickest way to order is straight from Castle Key Books.
And Castle Key is Castle, and Key is Q-U-A-Y.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cheryl, Tim, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you. It was great to be here.
Yes, thanks for having us on your program.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guests, Cheryl Baer and Tim Huff. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week at 9 p.m. for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter @Selah13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.